You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold. You're throwing away a fortune and feelings. But someday you'll pay.
Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm with Jason Logan. We're at a great point in the sports calendar right now. Not only are the NBA playoffs in full swing, but NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, that's a few days old. That's going to get going. And to help us navigate what I believe is the best postseason in pro sports, I'll say pro sports because March Madness, those first 2 days of March Madness are pretty great. The NHL playoffs are amazing. Josh Inglis from Covers.com, he's going to come in here and talk betting the pucks. We're going to talk pucks. We're going to also get some best ways to wager and some strategies for navigating the Stanley Cup playoffs, a bit of a different animal compared to the regular season. I'm going to toss some NBA playoff bets for you tonight as well for the Wednesday slate. And then, of course, our guy from the Mecca, Arthur DeCesar from the Las Vegas Superbook, he's going to come in here, dish on all the action, odds, moves from both postseasons, as well as a bunch of other stuff happening here in the spring. Great gambling calendar month right now in April and May. With me, as always, behind the scenes, my producer, Del. Del, you're in Toronto. Are you a Maple Leafs guy, and is there no joy in Mudville after they just got their ass waxed by Tampa Bay last night?
Believe it or not, hockey actually used to be one of my favorite sports, but the Leafs just continued to be terrible year after year, and progressively I always had the Raptors in mind as well, and yeah, now I hate them, so... I'll watch their games, but they're a brutal team to watch. It's very miserable.
And is it just a dark cloud over the city when they lose in the playoffs?
Yeah, it is the city's number one team, and whether I like to admit that or not, but it's no one's happy when they have to go into work after a 7-3 loss to the Lightning.
Oof. Yeah, and that was a rough one there last night. I was kind of following along, and it looked like it was done right away. Before we get going here on the Wednesday podcast, we remind you that if you like what you hear each week on the Sharp 600, please take a minute, rate and review the podcast, give us some feedback. We appreciate that. And so, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Time for some NHL insights. He's Covers lead NHL analyst, the host of the popular Jingles and Coco show, who's serving up the best NHL bets here during the Stanley Cup playoffs this spring. Definitely the eye candy at Covers.com. It's Josh Inglis. Welcome back to the Sharp 600, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here. It's great to be jamming with you.
All right. From a handicapping side of things, which aspects change the most when we switch from the NHL regular season to the Stanley Cup playoffs? Are there some stats and info worth more or less when it comes to placing wagers in those two seasons?
Obviously, when we're looking at it, goal production is down. Well, it's supposed to be down. We'll see totals down maybe a half a point from maybe a matchup in the regular season. But at that same point, the first games, we saw a ton of power plays. 47% of the goals in the first day were scored on the power play. Maybe refs are trying to set the tone, keep things pleasant before later rounds, and maybe the whistles kind of go away. But right now, scoring was kind of up in day one, day two. And in the same sense, I know we're going to talk about it later, home ice isn't really accounting for too much, as dogs are 6-2. And usually as bettors, we're putting about 25 cents for home ice advantage, kind of going down right now. Because, I mean, when we're looking at home ice or just any home advantage, a lot of that has to do with travel going in and out. But when you're there, you're there. So we're looking, I'm looking to take about 15 points off of the 25. So maybe 10 to 15 points for home ice.
Okay. And I guess, you know, that uptick in penalties. One of my favorite playoff slogans for hockey is every hit is an investment. So over that 7-game series, you want to come out and pound them. Is that teams just getting too aggressive right out of the gate, trying to set that playoff tone?
Yeah, we saw in the Toronto game with Michael Bunting, there are going to be some suspensions coming out of that, especially with the format the NHL uses. We're seeing teams play each other in back-to-back years. That rivalry is kind of building up. And because of that, we're seeing a lot of that rough stuff, and they're not letting it go, obviously, early in the series. They'll let it go when there's more on the line, because obviously the referees don't want to dictate the winner of the game. But if they're going to start calling it, they'll call it in games 1 and 2 to try to set the tone, like we said before. But in saying that, if if you're looking for points, now's probably games one, game two, or round one are probably where it is, and it's going to dry up as the series go on.
All right. So given that intensity, for my money, no better postseason, at least in professional sports, than the NHL playoffs. I absolutely love it. And we often see surprise results early on. It doesn't just fall in, you know, fall in order like we see with NBA and football and stuff like that. I know we're a couple days in here. Biggest shockers or that we've seen so far, and some more shockers perhaps to come this round, next round?
Yeah, I kind of already alluded to it. Dogs, 6-2 out of the gates, obviously, on the road. Some big money in Dogs, two overtime wins there. All the Dogs covered on the puck line last night, even on the reverse puck line. So there was money to be made betting on the Dogs. Like I said, 25 to 20 points, usually for home ice. That's kind of gone. The scheduling's not there. What we're seeing a lot in this playoffs, unproven goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And with margins so thin in the game, ultimately, that's going to be the difference. I know we're going to talk about that later, too. But I feel much happier betting on good goaltending right now in the playoffs, which isn't with some of the better teams. I mean, Winnipeg, a dog, they won. But there's something to be getting down on Connor Hellebuyck a little safer than guys like Laurent Brasson and Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek. And if you're not following hockey, those names are just falling on deaf ears.
You alluded to this, and maybe we don't need to go in it anymore, but like home court, huge for NBA playoffs. You know, the fans are right on the floor. Places like Sacramento have gone, you know, crazy with playoff games so far. In hockey, though, not as much. Should we be careful about how much we're putting into home ice here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, I mean, some of the best stuff you do when handicapping, try to handicap the game on neutral ice or neutral field, and then work your way off of that. And I think that's what we should be doing with hockey right now, because outside of teams like Nashville that have packed barns and they're right over top of you, there's not really that sense. We saw Tampa Bay go out and punch. Teams just want to come out and punch you in the nose and home ice and just shut up your fans. That's just common for all of sports, and we're seeing that with hockey. And, I mean, 18,000, a little less than other leagues of 60,000. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between those numbers. So I don't think it's weighing as much. The big thing in hockey is getting the last change in the matchup advantage. Mm-hmm. That's where we're getting priced in. We're not really pricing in too much in terms of quality of the audience, because it's expensive to go to games. No one's like,
it's,
you know,
ridiculous.
What I mean?
Playoff tickets, like for Leafs games, like you, that's a second mortgage.
I'm not even going to shows anymore. Like, I'll never see a band again. Like, I'm not paying $300 for a show. Like, I enjoy.
That's just ticket fees. That's just to buy your ticket.
Yes, plus the $10 online booking fee, the $10, I'm going to take that from your fee. There's a couple of them.
Oh, my God, yeah, it gets a little ridiculous. You did allude to, and you mentioned some goaltenders there, but goaltending plays just a massive role in the playoff success. And we've seen goalies get hot and take teams that have no business going deep in the tournament, taking them all the way to the cup finals. Any goaltenders out there that could get hot in the postseason and carry their team forward?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and a lot of it's priced in, is just the difference between the East and the West. The West could just have a cupcake matchup going through. We could see a Western Conference final between Minnesota and Winnipeg, and that path would be much easier than, say, what Carolina has to do to get to the finals. So someone like Connor Hellebuyck, former Vezina guy, I was high on Winnipeg. They have the team. They have a Norris-type trophy defenseman and Josh Morrissey. There's a lot there. But I'm seeing 65-1 for Hellebuyck for the Conn Smythe, 40-1 at other places. So FanDuel is hanging a 65-1. I think he's a guy that you could do it to. We're seeing guys like Igor Shesterkin. I believe New York was 16-1 heading in. But just like goalies like that, maybe even a Jake Oettinger is worth it. But hot goalies, especially in the West, could certainly get you around and steal two games in a series.
All right, like other sports here, no shortage of options to bet on when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs and individual games and individual markets and prop markets and derivatives and all these team props that are out there. Outside of the standard money line, the puck line, the game total, which derivatives or props do you have the most success with during the postseason, and why do you have the most success with those?
Obviously when we get to games like this, when we're seeing matchups of 3, 4, 5, 6 times, the line and the total become extremely efficient, and there's just not much there, especially if you're not an overnight bettor and you're getting there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything's really dried up. So the prop markets don't move as much. Like, we saw someone like Patrice Bergeron being left out of the lineup again for game two. He was out in game one, and his replacement on the top line maybe moved 5 points for his point market. So stuff like that. Shots on goal maybe might be overinflated with how difficult and how more people are willing to block shots and how much less ice there is for people to skate. Mm-hmm. Those markets, points, massive. People getting power play. We talked about power plays. Power play points are being priced right now as if it's late in the playoffs, but it's absolutely winning money right now and might be worth a look for, I don't know, maybe up to game three in the playoffs. Like I said before, mm-hmm. it kind of settles down and the refs don't have to decide it with stupid penalties. But outside that, you got goalie saves, which are awesome because games could go to overtime and you get that. Team total per periods. There's lots to look at. And as you know, if no book is not going to give you odds on anything you want to bet on. If you're out there and you want odds, just go message a bookmaker if you know, or a book. Yep. They have no issue putting things up. They want your action.
Yep, for sure. How much do you want to pay attention to, like, morning skates and any lineup changes and stuff like that? Are coaches going to be shifting things from game to game depending on things? Or is it more, you know, like the NBA where they kind of have the rotation? You may see a couple extra guys get minutes off the bench, but is it something that could change game to game?
Oh, absolutely. Like, just guys coming in, guys coming out, guys getting injured, guys making into the lineups. But in basketball, there's all, like, you can bet on pretty much every guy. There's not that many markets in hockey. So, like, getting, like, a fourth liner who jumps up to the top line, you're not going to find him for anything other than a goal market. So, a little difficult to find. Sure. But guys jumping up from, like, power play two to power play one, that's something you always want to pay attention to. Because if books are late, you can get, like, a plus 600 that should be priced at about a plus 220. So some value there, certainly. Morning skates are always important. And, yeah, just head over to cool sites like Daily Faceoff. It gives you a pretty up-to-date number on who's on the top line, who's playing power play.
Good stuff. All right, so a quick glance at the Stanley Cup futures. It kind of looks like the Bruins versus everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, do we take what we can get with the Bruins right now, which are like, well, like plus 200, plus 300 to win the Stanley Cup? Or is there another team or two that could cash in when it comes to winning the Cup?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the role, like, I don't know the rollover game as well. I'm aware of the rollover game, but when you're looking at plus 200, you got to assume that the rollover game is probably more advantageous than just taking the Bruins at that price and just rolling over just the series prices. Just rolling over your series prices, you probably could get a better number. But, I mean, the East is a lot tougher. We know that. I think some of the best value is out in the West just because of the path that gets there. And then once you get to the finals, you don't know what injuries are up. Teams could be down a goalie, so there's a lot there. I love Winnipeg. I do love Winnipeg in this spot. They're already up one game. They're minus 140 to win the series. Guys like Carolina's Brent Burns are another long shots for Conn Smythe I'm looking at. But outside of outrights, probably looking to the West, Winnipeg has my eye. But other than that, it's tough when we're already overreacting to game one. It's hard to exclude that recency bias in this spot. But that's why you should probably do most of your shopping pre-game one.
All right. And you alluded to Conn Smythe Trophy there, which is the Stanley Cup Final MVP. Active for every game of the playoffs. So this market is moving with every game of the playoffs. A lot of Bruins, a lot of Oilers at the top of the board there. Can we squeeze a little extra value out of those teams by taking guys on those value favorites to win Conn Smythe?
Everywhere.
And any little sleepers out there that could be worth a flyer?
Value everywhere, especially when we're overreacting to game one results. But again, going to be difficult in the East for everyone to move. I love Carolina, one of the best coaches in the league, and Rob Brind'Amour, just a great structure. They get a ton of shot attempts on. They reduce a lot of shot attempts. Brent Burns is a guy, 95-1 on FanDuel to win the Conn Smythe. And this fact is just there's a lot of injuries up front for Carolina, and no other team is generating more shot attempts on net than Carolina's defense. So they're very important in the offensive structure. Then on the other side, I already said Connor Hellebuyck, 65-1. Minnesota goalie Philip Gustafson, 75-1. low-scoring team, so maybe a little edge on goalies, but goalies aren't winning Conn Smythe constantly. So if you want to look at leading players on those teams, Kirill Kaprizov, 44-1, decent. And then you get really technical with Winnipeg. Kyle Connor, top offensive player, top goal scorer, 95-1. Their number one center, Pierre-Luc Dubois, 135-1. And then, as I mentioned, their D-man, their Norris trophy consideration, Josh Morrissey, 190-1.
So if you like Winnipeg, maybe worth a sprinkle on some of their top guys.
Instead of their outright price, you can just sprinkle those four guys and probably come up with a better number than what they're paying right now for their outright.
Right on. All right, so we got, four games on the board Wednesday night, some shockers so far. Best bets for tonight can be anything. Sides, totals, props, team, whatever. Whatever you got for tonight's games, what do you like?
Yeah, we saw that total, that Carolina Islanders total, kind of shorten up. It doesn't want to hit five, but they're in that spot. Under five and a half, -145. So they're not really asking for much action hanging that price. Mm-hmm. And they're not really putting any liability, putting the five out there. So that's a tough one to play. Probably stay off it. But Patrice Bergeron is out. So back to a point for David Krejci, who jumps up to PP1. He can be found for about -135. Tyler Bertuzzi for a point. Playing with the Pasternak line and David Krejci 5-on-5. He's about -120. Also alluded to the Carolina defense and how they're generating shots on goal. Mm-hmm. So guys like Brady Shea, over 2.5 shots, something I'm targeting. And then the Dogs, Jason, the Dogs are live here. The Islanders +150, Minnesota 140, and the Kings. I mean, everybody loves Edmonton, but the Kings are +190 here. I mean, they still have to face Stuart Skinner. And if they can shut down McDavid, then it could be 2-0 heading back to LA.
The Edmonton faithful was not very happy with that game one result.
Yeah, littered the ice after the loss.
Yeah.
They blew it. But now, sports, now the onus is on them to make that adjustment. LA's in the driver's seat.
Yep. Steal one in that series. And like you said, home ice is not as influential. Absolutely. All right, Josh, awesome stuff. Thanks so much. Tell the people where they can follow, get all your goodies for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Twitter at Josh_Ingles. Find me there. Link to my Discord there. That's where you can find me more. I prefer the conversation in the Discord than the conversation on Twitter these days. The conversation on Twitter is... it is what it is, but it's fun just putting out stuff there. So I'm there day to day, and then my stuff on cover. So always reachable, always ready to talk betting. That's for sure.
All right. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Jason. You guys have a great day. Thanks a lot.
All right. Before we get to the 2-minute drills, action in the NBA playoffs. We got three games on the board tonight. I got a bunch of bets on the go here. I took my Lakers, Anthony Davis to go over 24.5 points for LA. Now Davis scored just 22 points in game one, but he did give up some touches in the second half to the hot hands of the LA backcourt. Those guards were shooting the ball extremely well, the best I've seen them shoot in a long time. I don't think they're going to continue to shoot that well tonight. And with the Grizzlies a little thin up front, you're missing Davis, and they're missing Clark, or not Adams, you're missing Clark. I think AD goes to work inside. His player projections anywhere from 21 to 29 points. I'm in the middle there. I see him scoring 26. He is LA's number one option on offense, especially since this new roster got revamped in the middle of February. And he's a guy that can pick up the bonus buckets, hit the offensive glass hard. That is a spot where Memphis has been soft. So I like Anthony Davis to go over 24.5 points. Taking Bam Adebayo to go over 19.5 points. You're going to have to shop around for this one because it is moving. Adebayo had a great second half against the Bucks in game one, mainly because Milwaukee just showed him no respect. They played way off of him. They allowed him plenty of space at the top of the key. He was patient. He even took a few dribbles in. The defender didn't come up, and he took that little mid-range shot from around the foul line pretty much. That's a spot in his game in which he has improved greatly over this year. He had 22 points on 10-for-18 shooting in game one. His game two projection, 21 points. I think the ceiling is even higher because you have Tyler Hero probably out. I think he is out for this game I think it was busted hand. So there are touches up for grabs on this Miami offense. His point prop for tonight, like I said, 19.5, however, it is ticking up to 20.5 at some shops. So you definitely want to shop around, get the low side of that point total. In the late game, I got two between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. I'm going to go with the two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic, to go over his points prop of 22.5. Now, Jokic played only 28 minutes in Game 1's blowout over Minnesota. He managed just 13 points, 6-12 shooting, and the Joker's pass production has been a little bit tempered as well, too. He played limited action towards the end of the season. He was nursing some injuries, but they had the number one seed in the bag, and he didn't really play major minutes or was really counted on in those they didn't play any must-win games. And that's slimming his points prop here. However, I expect a closer game tonight between these two teams. I have his projected points at 25.5. That's more than enough to get over the modest 22.5 point total that's out there. And sticking with this one, I'm going to go with T-Wolves point guard Mike Conley over 5.5 assists. Conley had just 3 assists in 25 minutes in that one-sided loss to Denver in game 1. But he's averaged more than 5 per game since getting Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards both on the floor together healthy, which is something that the Minnesota Timberwolves didn't have for most of the year. His assist prop is pretty low, though. He had that game one result, and then also his assist totals of 3 and 4 in the play-in games. But he had a downtick with some weird minutes in those games, also towards the end of the home stretch of the year. Just wasn't playing the same floor time that he got. I'm expecting major minutes from him tonight. This is a big game and a must-win game for Minnesota, or at least a must-show-up game for Minnesota after just getting boat raced in game one. I have his assist projection just under 7. There were some out there that are far higher, but there's good value here at over 5.5. It's out minus 105 at some places. It's as high as minus 115. So shop around, get that lower price tag on Mike Conley over 5.5 assists. 2-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Las Vegas Superbook. NBA playoffs in full swing here. Biggest adjustments either to series, conference, title odds based on the early results so far in the postseason?
I think a couple of conference ones to look at. Lakers are now the third choice, plus 350 to come out of the West. And the Celtics, with the Giannis news, plus 110 to come out of the East. They're the big favorite in the East now.
Yeah, I got the Kings I saw major adjustment to as well, too, in the West. Stanley Cup playoffs, also a couple days old. Anything the same there with those early upsets? Any adjustments to the markets?
I think the one in the Cup to look at is my Rangers. They've gone from 12-1 to 9-1. And now in the West, the Avs are the big favorite, plus 325. Knights, who were the favorite, have slipped to 650, third choice.
Mm-hmm. Baseball season, about 3 weeks old. We've seen some surprises, Tampa Bay, Texas, Milwaukee, some of those teams having success. Do you guys adjust things like division, pennant odds, World Series odds that much from these early results, or is this more like, you know, there's a lot of baseball to be played between now and October?
Jason, it's a great question. I think pennant and World Series we can kind of wait on. There's still a lot to go. Division, you have to adjust on the fly. Like, look at Atlanta. Atlanta was plus 110 at the beginning of the year. They're now minus 200 to win the NL East. So, big adjustment there.
Yeah, crap start for the Phillies as well, too.
Yep.
Kentucky Derby, one of the biggest betting events of the year. Coming up in the spring here, just in a few weeks. Which are the ponies at the top of the board? Any notable kind of sleepers drawing action as well, too?
So, one I wanted to touch on was a 3-year-old colt named King Barnes. He was 25-1 in our future poll in the Kentucky Derby. He's now 10-1. Todd Pletcher horse, he was a Louisiana Derby winner. So he's drawn a lot of action. Odds have been totally sliced.
Yeah, those Pletcher horses are all sitting at the top. Baffert's still suspended, I believe, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. So Pletcher's that next trainer up. Champions League action this week as well, too. In the quarterfinal stage, how is action on, I know the horn went, but how is action on Champions League? How's the appetite for soccer betting grown over the last few summers?
Soccer has definitely grown. Champions League and EPL will always see good action on, regardless. That is just hands down.
Yeah, all right, cool. Got to get an MLS team in Vegas. And then
Yeah.
All right, springtime, weather's getting nicer. I've been cranking out the my footwear collection. I like to break out the best footwear. Now that it's not raining and muddy all the time, I'm a big sneaker guy. Do you have a favorite shoe of all time to rock on a beautiful day?
It's not even close. I'm an Air Max 1 guy.
Ooh.
I love Air Max 1s. I'm a sneaker guy too, Jason. So,
and they did you get the big bubbles? Because they just released the
you
big
know,
bubble.
I think they're okay, but I'm old school. I like the original 87 ones with the little bubble. But I'm an Air Max 1 guy. All Air Maxes. I could do 95s. But I like ones. I like Air Max ones.
I've got a fresh pair of 91s or 95s that I wore to the Super Bowl. Yep. Big 97 Silver Bullet fan as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Best bet for Wednesday or beyond, whatever you got.
I normally don't like to lay a big price. Not that it's huge, but I think the Knights need game two in the worst way. Minus 140, Knights in game two for Thursday.
All right. That's it. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Dal. Thanks, Josh. Like what you're hearing here on the Sharp 600. We remind you, please rate and review the podcast when you get a second. We'll be back next Wednesday with more NBA, NHL, MLB, all that stuff that's going on this spring. Good luck with your bets.